broadcasting 24/7, 365. You're listening to 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca, Kingston's only campus community radio station. Tune in for the best local programming.
Happy New Year and welcome back to Melodies of Myth, where we explore short historical tales blended with Indian classical and Western music. I'm your host, Simar Kaur, and it's truly an honor to accompany you on this journey of discovering the rich interweaving of music and history. Together, we will explore the stories, traditions, and timeless melodies that have shaped our understanding of this art form. So today, we're going to start with a more instrumental and melodic vibe, and I have two instrumental tracks for you, which are of Bollywood songs, and then we'll move on to our weekly short story, and we'll end off with some upbeat Punjabi music. How does that sound? All right, so let's get into the wonderful instrumental music of Indian classical. All right, guys. Hope you like that. And for today's short story, well, it's called the betuk after the playlist. So betuk is typically means just sitting down with people to discuss or just like, you know, like family dinners, I guess. So this title is called the betuk after the playlist. Let's begin. On Friday nights in Vancouver, the rain didn't fall like monsoon. It came quiet, sheets, steady as a Tanpura drone. There, always, like the city's way of keeping time. Arjun used to think Indian classical music needed a certain kind of room. You know, warm lights, carpeted floors, people who knew when to cough and when not to. Back home, a betuk felt like an agreement. We will sit, we will listen, we will let the music take its time. In Canada, time felt rented. Everything had a start time, an end time, and a link to RSVP. Still, Arjun kept saying yes to gigs because saying no felt like letting the thread snap. That week, a local art space messaged him. Can you do something classical but accessible? We're doing the South Asian Sounds Night. You're on after a Punjabi DJ set. After a DJ set. Arjun stared at the lineup poster. Neon letters, a tabla icon used like a decoration, his name wedged between Bali, throwbacks, and bass bhangra, as if rag was just another flavor on a menu. He almost declined the gig. Instead, he replied, sure. Then he opened his harmonium and felt his hands hesitate. What did it mean to sing rag after a playlist? He practiced anyway. Slow, stubborn practice, like sweeping a floor no one else had noticed was dirty. He worked on Bageshwari, a night rag that could hold softness without collapsing into sweetness. He rehearsed the bandish until, a bandish meaning a song, until it sat in his throat like something true. But every time he sang, he imagined the room. People checking phones, laughing between phrases, expecting the next beat to arrive the way it always did, on command. And he feared the worst thing. Not that they wouldn't understand, that they wouldn't even stay long enough to try to understand. The night of the event, he arrived early with his harmonium wrapped in a padded case. The venue was half cafe, half gallery. White walls, local paintings, a barista steaming milk like it was percussion. Someone was tapping cables to the floor. The DJ was doing a sound check. The bass made the windows vibrate. Arjun found a chair in the corner and watched. People came in wearing raincoats and glitter. They ordered drinks and posed under the poster. A group of students argued about which Punjabi artist was most Canada-coded. Someone else asked the bartender if the chai was authentic. See, Arjun, he didn't mind. He learned not to mind. Oh, but all the nostalgia, the pride, the reinvention, misunderstanding, joy, everyone carried their own version of home and most of them were tired. When the DJ began, the room filled fast. The crowd moved easily like they've been waiting all week for the permission to become loud. Arjun stood near the back, harmonium at his feet, and tried not to take it personally when nobody looked at him. Then the organizer of the event came up, breathless. Okay, you're on in 5. Just keep it short, you know, like 20 minutes. People might leave if it's too long. Arjun wanted to laugh, and honestly, I do not blame him. 20 minutes was barely an introduction in a rag. 20 minutes was a warm-up, a clearing of a throat, a handshake. But he nodded anyway. 20, he said, like it didn't sting. When the DJ set ended, applause cracked through the room. The lights shifted. People stayed standing, still buzzing, still moving. Someone shouted for one more track. Someone else yelled, play AP. AP meaning AP Dylan, another famous Canadian artist. The organizer took the mic. Okay, now we're just switching it up. We've got Arjun bringing us something classical, so give it up. A few polite claps, a few confused looks. The room's energy didn't drop so much as tilt, uncertain. Arjun walked to the front carrying his harmonium like it was both an instrument and an argument. He sat down on a small rug someone else had placed for him, as if it would magically create the right atmosphere. He took a breath, and instead of starting with the Bageshri ride that he had planned earlier, he did something that he hadn't planned. He spoke. "Hi," he said into the mic, voice steady. "I know you were just dancing. I'm not here to stop that. I just want to show you a different kind of rhythm." Someone near the front laughed, kindly, not cruelly. Arjun continued, "In Indian classical music, we don't jump straight into the hook. We build the space first. If you can give me just 2 minutes of your attention, I'll do the rest." 2 minutes felt like a reasonable request, modern, negotiated, and the room didn't go silent, it just softened. People turned, a few sat on the floor out of curiosity. Someone leaned on a wall, arms crossed, like they were daring him to be interesting. And so Arjun began with a single note, soft, unhurried, then another. He let the sound bloom the way rain spreads on pavement, quietly claiming more area than you expect. The harmonium's drone steadied the room. He shaped the alap slowly, not because he was trying to be traditional, but because he was trying to be honest. He did not chase the crowd. He did not perform accessibility. He offered them the doorway and waited to see who stepped through. And something strange happened. Oh my gosh. A girl near the front stopped scrolling on TikTok. A guy who had been filming lowered his phone. A couple who looked ready to leave paused mid-step, as if the air had changed and they wanted to understand why. Arjun moved into the Bageshri rag that he had planned for, like it was a memory returning to him. Gentle, intimate, the kind of rag that doesn't demand attention, but it actually earns it. He added the song quietly, letting the words sit in the melody like small lamps. The room sound changed. People breathing, their breathing became audible. Even the barista slowed down, milk steaming in a softer hiss. Then halfway through, Arjun heard it. A beat. Not from the DJ booth, but from the crowd. Someone unconsciously started tapping a foot to the theka he was implying. Another person joined with a small nod, the kind you do when your body recognizes a pattern before your mind names it. Arjun felt the warmth spreading through his chest, not triumph, not relief, something closer to connection. So he did the second unplanned thing. He invited the room in. He shifted into a faster phrase, still the same song, but with enough pulse that the audience could feel where the rhythm lived. He repeated a line, then varied it, then returned, like teaching someone a language through kindness. A small cheer rose when they recognized the repetition, like they'd solved a puzzle. Arjun smiled into the mic without stopping the music, and the smile changed the room. It made people less afraid of getting it wrong. By the time he reached the ending, the gallery cafe art space had become something else, a bethuk that hadn't existed 10 minutes ago. He ended on a final note and let it fade. The silence afterward was heavier than applause. It was the kind of silence that means people are still inside the song. And then the clapping came, louder than polite, not just appreciation, but surprise, like they hadn't expected to feel anything and were a little offended that they did. After the set he packed up, a teenager approached him, hoodie, wet hair, a phone in hand. He said, "I didn't know classical music could hit like that." Half embarrassedly, he said. Arjun laughed softly. "It hits different." The teen nodded. "I only know like little clips online, but this felt," he searched for the right word, "like it was alive." "It is," Arjun said. "It's not just built for skipping." The teen hesitated and asked, "Is there a playlist for this?" Arjun looked at him, like really, really looked, and saw not disrespect but desire. So he said, "Yeah, I'll make you one, but promise me something. Don't listen while doing something else. Give it 10 minutes sometimes. No doom scrolling on TikTok. Just let it happen." So outside, the Vancouver rain kept falling, steady and patient. Arjun walked to the SkyTrain with his harmonium case bumping lightly against his leg, feeling oddly lighter. He thought about how the classical scene here was just growing, not in marble halls, not in perfectly quiet rooms, but in borrowed spaces between genres, in pop-ups, in cafes, in communities that were learning, imperfectly, but learning how to listen again. Maybe a Baitak didn't need the old rules to exist. Maybe it just needed one person willing to start slow, and a room willing to stay for 2 minutes longer than it planned. All right, let's go back to our Punjabi music. So I want to introduce you, now that we're switching gears from strings and sitars, to something a little more contemporary. And so this next artist has taken Punjabi music global, blending smooth R&B and hip-hop with that same depth of feeling. So here is Excuses by AP Dhillon and Gurinder Gill, and we'll keep the vibe going with a few more of his tracks after this. Enjoy.
ਜਦੋਂ ਟੁੱਟੂਗਾ ਤਾਂ ਪਤਾ ਲੱਗੂਗਾ ਦਿਲ ਨਾਲ ਲਾਰੇ ਨੀ ਤੂੰ ਲਾਉਣ ਵਾਲੀ ਏ ਦਿਲ ਤੇਰਾ ਜਦੋਂ ਟੁੱਟੂਗਾ ਤਾਂ ਟੁੱਟੇ ਦਿਲ ਨੂੰ ਸਾਂਭੀ ਫਿਰਦੇ ਕੀ ਫਾਇਦਾ ਮੁਟਿਆਰੇ 12 ਸਾਲ ਵੱਜੀਆਂ ਜਰਾਈਆਂ ਛੱਡੇ ਤਖਤ ਹਜ਼ਾਰੇ ਹਰ ਸਾਹ ਨਾਲ ਯਾਦ ਤੈਨੂੰ ਕਰਦੇ ਰਹੇ ਕੋਈ ਸਾਡੇ ਵਾਂਗ ਕਰੂਗਾ ਤਾਂ ਪਤਾ ਲੱਗੂਗਾ ਦਿਲ ਨਾਲ ਲਾਰੇ ਨੀ ਤੂੰ ਲਾਉਣ ਵਾਲੀ ਏ ਦਿਲ ਤੇਰਾ ਜਦੋਂ ਟੁੱਟੂਗਾ ਤਾਂ ਮੇਰੇ ਦਿਲ ਨਾਲ ਲਾਰੇ ਨੀ ਤੂੰ ਲਾਉਣ ਵਾਲੀ ਏ ਦਿਲ ਤੇਰਾ ਜਦੋਂ ਟੁੱਟੂਗਾ ਤਾਂ ਪਤਾ ਲੱਗੂਗਾ ਦਿਲ ਨਾਲ ਲਾਰੇ ਨੀ ਤੂੰ ਲਾਉਣ ਵਾਲੀ ਏ ਦਿਲ ਤੇਰਾ ਜਦੋਂ ਟੁੱਟੂਗਾ ਤਾਂ ਕਹਿੰਦੀ ਹੁੰਦੀ ਸੀ ਚੰਨ ਤੱਕ ਰਾਹ ਬਣਾ ਦੇ ਤਾਰੇ ਨੇ ਪਸੰਦ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਹੇਠਾਂ ਸਹਾਰੇ ਲਾ ਦੇ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਤਾਰਿਆਂ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਜਦੋਂ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਵੇਖੇਗੀ ਮੇਰੀ ਯਾਦ ਜਦੋਂ ਆਊਗੀ ਤਾਂ ਪਤਾ ਲੱਗੂਗਾ ਦਿਲ ਨਾਲ ਲਾਰੇ ਨੀ ਤੂੰ ਲਾਉਣ ਵਾਲੀਏ ਦਿਲ ਤੇਰਾ ਜਦੋਂ ਟੁੱਟੂਗਾ ਤਾਂ ਪਤਾ ਲੱਗੂਗਾ ਦਿਲ ਨਾਲ ਲਾਰੇ ਨੀ ਤੂੰ ਲਾਉਣ ਵਾਲੀਏ ਦਿਲ ਤੇਰਾ ਜਦੋਂ ਟੁੱਟੂਗਾ ਤਾਂ ਪਤਾ ਲੱਗੂਗਾ ਦਿਲ ਨਾਲ ਲਾਰੇ ਨੀ ਤੂੰ ਲਾਉਣ ਵਾਲੀਏ ਦਿਲ ਤੇਰਾ ਜਦੋਂ ਟੁੱਟੂਗਾ ਤਾਂ ਰਾਸ ਨਾ ਆਇਆ ਤੈਨੂੰ ਨੀ ਜੋ ਦਿਲ ਦਾ ਮਹਿਲ ਬਣਾਇਆ ਸੀ ਤੋੜ ਕੇ ਮੋਤੀ ਫੁੱਲਾਂ ਦੇ ਉਸ ਮਹਿਲ ਚ ਬੂਟਾ ਲਾਇਆ ਸੀ ਨੀ ਜਿਵੇਂ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਛੱਡ ਗਈਆਂ ਨੀ ਤੂੰ ਅਲੜੇ ਜਦੋਂ ਤੈਨੂੰ ਕੋਈ ਛੱਡੂਗਾ ਤਾਂ ਉਹ ਜਿਵੇਂ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਛੱਡ ਗਈਆਂ ਨੀ ਤੂੰ ਅਲੜੇ ਜਦੋਂ ਤੈਨੂੰ ਕੋਈ ਛੱਡੂਗਾ ਤਾਂ ਪਤਾ ਲੱਗੂਗਾ ਦਿਲ ਨਾਲ ਲਾਰੇ ਨੀ ਤੂੰ ਲਾਉਣ ਵਾਲੀ ਏ ਦਿਲ ਤੇਰਾ ਜਦੋਂ ਟੁੱਟੂਗਾ ਤਾਂ ਪਤਾ ਲੱਗੂਗਾ ਦਿਲ ਨਾਲ ਲਾਰੇ ਨੀ ਤੂੰ ਲਾਉਣ ਵਾਲੀ ਏ ਦਿਲ ਤੇਰਾ ਜਦੋਂ ਟੁੱਟੂਗਾ ਤਾਂ ਪਤਾ ਲੱਗੂਗਾ ਇਸ਼ਕੇ ਦੇ ਰਾਹਾਂ ਵਿੱਚ ਰੁੜ ਕੇ ਰਹਿ ਗਏ ਹਾਂ ਲੋਕਾਂ ਦਿੱਤੇ ਤਾਨੇ ਮੇਣੇ ਹੱਸ ਕੇ ਸਹਿ ਗਏ ਹਾਂ ਇਸ਼ਕੇ ਦੇ ਰਾਹਾਂ ਵਿੱਚ ਰੁੜ ਕੇ ਰਹਿ ਗਏ ਹਾਂ ਲੋਕਾਂ ਦਿੱਤੇ ਤਾਨੇ ਮੇਣੇ ਹੱਸ ਕੇ ਸਹਿ ਗਏ ਹਾਂ ਸਾਡੇ ਪਿਆਰ ਨੂੰ ਤੂੰ ਪੈਰਾਂ ਥੱਲੇ ਰੋੜਦੀ ਰਹੀ ਜਜ਼ਬਾਤ ਜਦੋਂ ਰੁੜੇ ਉਦੋਂ ਪਤਾ ਲੱਗੂਗਾ ਦਿਲ ਨਾਲ ਲਾਰੇ ਨੀ ਤੂੰ ਲਾਉਣ ਵਾਲੀਏ ਦਿਲ ਤੇਰਾ ਜਦੋਂ ਟੁੱਟੂਗਾ ਤਾਂ ਪਤਾ ਲੱਗੂਗਾ ਦਿਲ ਨਾਲ ਲਾਰੇ ਨੀ ਤੂੰ ਲਾਉਣ ਵਾਲੀਏ ਦਿਲ ਤੇਰਾ ਜਦੋਂ ਟੁੱਟੂਗਾ ਤਾਂ ਪਤਾ ਲੱਗੂਗਾ
Before I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I thought all the people that I knew who didn't drink were self-righteous people, holier than thou. So it never occurred to me that Alcoholics Anonymous was filled with people who had drank like I did, and now were the same people that I used to drink with, the same people that I liked, only now they weren't drinking. They were people just like me who had been drinking for a long time and found out that it didn't work for them anymore.
Visit AA.org for more information and download the Meeting Guide app to find a meeting near you.
Hey, listeners. Well, this marks our end of the journey for this week. I apologize. I lost track of time and could not play any other Gorinda Gill and AP Dillon songs. But do not worry. We will be back same time next week, next Friday at 3 p.m. on Melodies of Myth. And we will pick up where we left off. So till then, have a wonderful week. And we will see you very, very soon.
Summer heat and get a nice treat? Don't hesitate to make a date to visit Old Farm Fine Foods. Pizza, frittata, sausage rolls, sandwiches, soups, and more are ready and waiting to get in your belly. Plus, you can also buy fresh and frozen food to prepare at home. Pop into the shop Monday through Sunday between 8 to 6 at 204 Berry Street. And don't forget to follow Old Farm Fine Foods on Instagram at OldFarmFF to get the scoop on the latest goodies. Old Farm Fine Foods, comfort food you can count on.
Vai marinheiro, vai, vai, vai buscar a Laurindinha. Vai marinheiro, vai, vai, ela é tua, não é minha. Sim, nosso é, com toda a certeza, o programa Atlantis, que transmitimos dos estúdios da CFRC no quadrante 101.9 FM, em sistema de cabo 90.9, aos domingos das 18 às 20 horas, com locução de Eduardo Pereira.
Vai marinheiro, vai, vai.
You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Cataraqui on Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee land.
Year 2025.
Pan America tracked over 10,000 cases of books being banned across the country.
I played in the AFL for 10 years for the West Coast Eagles, and I'm a bisexual man.
Programs prey on vulnerable parents and they must know they don't work.
I'm a left-wing dyke and I love it.
I'm sort of thrilled that People magazine bestow this honour on someone who can really cherish the value of a sexy man.
And we're here to make history!
Happy New Year, and welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Brian DeShazer. News Wrap, the summary of LGBTQ news from around the world, and our cherished volunteer anchors will return from the holiday break next week. This week, we conclude our review of some of the news and features heard on This Way Out in 2025, including the reauthorization of the UN's queer expert, escalating hate-filled book bans in the U.S., and the Australian Football League welcoming its first openly queer player. Part 3 concludes This Way Out's queer history of 2025.
I'm David Hunt. For all its work as a peacekeeping body, the United Nations has something in common with military organizations, a love of acronyms. One acronym you'll hear over and over is IESOGI. IE is short for Independent Expert. SOGI, S-O-G-I, is short for sexual orientation and gender identity. At the UN, I.E. Soji is a man, South African scholar Graham Reed, and a mandate, a position created under the UN's Special Procedures Mechanism to ensure, monitor, advise, and publicly report on matters related to human rights violations based on sexual orientation and gender identity. The Council created the three-year position in 2016 and renewed it twice, in 2019 and again in 2021. This week's vote, to renew the mandate for another 3 years, comes at a fraught time for the global LGBTQ movement. Fabiana Label is a program manager at the International Service for Human Rights in Geneva, an organization that supports human rights defenders around the world through training, activism, research, and legal advice.
This time around, we have what we call a technical rollover, which is basically a very short resolution that just states what the mandate is and then asks for the renewal. There are a number of grounds on which this is objected, from kind of religious claims around religious practices, claims around cultural norms and family values, which are absolutely not in conformity with UN human rights standards. There are many different claims, but they come from a place of intolerance and a place of discrimination against sexual orientation and diverse sexual orientation and gender identities. The resolution doesn't create any rights, doesn't propose any new language. It's basically the continuation of the work of the independent expert. We expect a close vote.
This just in, the Human Rights Council renewed the mandate of the independent expert on sexual orientation and gender identity on July 7th. There were 29 votes in favor of adopting the resolution, with 15 voting against and 3 abstentions.
Stop banning our books!
That's right!
Stop banning our books!
We're a literary organization, we're a free expression organization, and we got into this work of tracking book bans in large part because we understood that if we were going to be an organization of writer members, of writers, if we were protecting their freedom to write, we also needed to protect the freedom to read and the freedom to learn and the freedom to teach.
You're listening to Allison Lee, the Managing Director for PEN America Los Angeles. And for This Way Out, I'm Jason Jen. PEN is an international literary club and community that's been in existence for over 100 years, with some original members like Radcliffe Hall, E.M. Forster, H.G. Wells, Willa Cather, Eugene O'Neill, and Robert Frost. Its main charter states that literature knows no frontiers and must remain common currency among people in spite of political or international upheavals. So they have a lot to say about current government censorship.
Since 2021, we have been tracking this explosive rise in book banning across the country. It is not incidental. It is not just a group of concerned parents here or there. It is a concerted effort that is well funded by groups that have their roots in white supremacy and Christian nationalism. It is now, you know, the explosiveness that we see in book bans last year in the 2023-2024 school year. PEN America tracked over 10,000 cases of books being banned across the country. I know it's a shocking number. And while like the biggest offenders of that might be in states like Florida and Iowa, they happen in every state across the country. State legislatures are now involved in it, but also it now has the seal of the highest office in the land, with executive orders coming down almost immediately from the Trump presidency when they said, you know, book bans are a hoax. We are now seeing the Department of Education dismantling of K-12 education. We're seeing, you know, we're seeing the ripple effects happen across, not just in K-12 education, but we're seeing words being removed from websites, the federal government. And so this is not just about education. This is not just about books. This is about a revamping of our public education system. This is about whose stories get to be told, what history we learn, and, you know, really the marginalization of LGBTQ voices, of Black voices, of women's voices, about stories, about who we are, who we want to be. And, you know, it's just not something that is acceptable in a democratic society.
Thank you to Allison Lee from PEN America Los Angeles for joining us to discuss their viewpoints on this important subject. For more information about Banned Books or PEN America, you can visit the organization online at pen.org.
I'm Michael Taylor Gray.
And I'm Ava Davis.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending August 30th, 2025.
You are the people that protect America. And America needs to see that you are the people that protect America. And we are going to be your loudest advocates.
Dr. Dimitri Daskalakis was cheered as a hero when he departed the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention along with other CDC leaders who resigned on August 27th. The bold gay immunization and respiratory diseases official most recently led the U.S. response to Mpox. His confrontational style drives the far right crazy with his prolific pentagram tattoos, leather gear, and suggestive thirst-trapped social media posts. Now, he's another casualty of President Donald Trump's war on science and truth. Daskalakis and his compatriots walked out on the heels of the administration's attempt to fire CDC Director Susan Menares. She's resisting. Her lawyers point to her refusal to rubber stamp what they called unscientific, reckless directives from Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. In his blistering resignation letter, Dr. Daskalakis said in part, "After much contemplation and reflection on recent developments and perspectives brought to light by Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., I find that the views he and his staff have shared challenge my ability to continue in my current role at the agency and in the service of the health of the American people." He called out the agency for radical non-transparency, unskilled manipulation of data, and charged his bosses with being people of dubious intent and more dubious scientific rigor. His resignation letter went on to cite, "The recklessness of the administration in their efforts to erase transgender populations, cease critical domestic and international HIV programming, and terminate key research to support equity as part of my decision." Dr. Daskalakis told The Advocate, "I gave up my job as a red flag. This is a five-alarm fire. If people don't act now, ideology will fully consume science."
I played in the AFL for 10 years for the West Coast Eagles, and I'm a bisexual man.
Former Perth-based West Coast Eagles defender Mitch Brown shook up the sport this week by coming out as bi in the Daily Aus. He says the pressure of hiding his sexuality contributed to his decision to retire in 2016 at the age of 28. No former or current male player has ever publicly identified as gay or bi in the league's 129-year history. Toxic masculinity continues to prevail. A highly offensive homophobic slur against an opponent got high-profile player Isaac Rankin suspended for several matches in June, essentially ending his season. Brown declined to condemn the insult.
On the field, you're trying to beat your opponent, right? One of the ways you do that is to belittle your opponent.
His former Eagles teammates were enthusiastic in their support, writing in a social media post, "We love you, Mitch. We're proud of you and how you're living your values to make footy and our society a better place."
From Kansas, with a sound that shook, or should I say rocked, contemporary Christian music in the late 1990s. Breathtaking in her honesty, at times raucous, hell-bent, she said, on pounding her guitar into splinters. At other times, serene, singing with the simple joy and simple faith of a new believer. A fresh, strong female voice in an industry that had fixed ideas about a woman's place in society. Jennifer Knapp challenged those conventions and carved out her own space, eventually, outside the insular world of Christian music. Today she's out, proud, and sometimes loud, writing and performing for a new generation of fans, with songs that speak to the joys and trials of modern life, of love, longing, loss, and a recurring theme for Knapp, freedom.
In my blood, the son of a Kansas guy.
Jennifer Knapp isn't in Kansas anymore. At the height of her success as a Christian rocker, she found the pressures and pace too much for her sanity or her soul. In 2002, she packed up her guitars and moved to Oz, Australia, to clear her head and nourish her heart. She found the courage to return to the United States 7 years later. Still a rocker, still a Christian, but no longer part of the contemporary Christian music scene.
When they talk about that record and the songs from that record, most of what people share with me are the stories of their lives.
Jennifer Knapp is a Grammy-nominated singer-songwriter, author, speaker, and founder of Inside Out Faith, a nonprofit organization dedicated to advocating for LGBTQ rights within faith communities. Learn more about her music and her writings at jenniferknapp.com. For This Way Out, I'm David Hunt.
You can reminisce, but you can bring it back. Oh, you'll find our dreams littered on the path. Try something new.
More of This Way Out's Queer History of 2025 after this brief message of gratitude.
Our listeners support This Way Out in many ways.
By subscribing to our e-newsletter.
Email us at info@thiswayout.org.
And through your financial contributions to our program.
More information about how you can give is online at thiswayout.org.
Thank you.
The U.S. Supreme Court considers bans on conversion therapy, the Netherlands elects its first openly gay prime minister, and Professor Pomona Sprout celebrates her wokeness. As a Queer History of 2025 wraps up on This Way Out.
This Way Out.
This Way Out.
The international radio show for all our sexually diverse communities.
How dare they?
And those who love them.
You ain't gonna get this nowhere else.
That's the truth.
Please do stay tuned.
Conversion therapy is on trial in the United States Supreme Court, which could quash bans against the discredited practice in more than two dozen states. I'm Marcos Najera. the American Medical Association, the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Psychiatric Association, and literally every professional medical and mental health organization in the country condemns the claim that sexual orientation and gender identity can be changed through counseling and prayer. The United Nations has compared it to torture. However, the High Court heard oral arguments on October 7th in a case that defends conversion therapy on free speech grounds. The specific case involves a Christian licensed therapist backed by the notoriously anti-queer legal assault team, the Alliance Defending Freedom. Kaylee Childs counsels clients seeking what she calls religiously informed care that comports with traditional biblical understandings of sexuality and gender. Her lawyers argue that a 2019 Colorado law known as the Prohibit Conversion Therapy for a Minor Act violates her First Amendment rights. The law prohibits and prescribes disciplinary action for what it defines as efforts to change an individual's sexual orientation, including efforts to change behaviors or gender expressions, or to eliminate or reduce sexual or romantic attraction or feelings toward individuals of the same sex. In addition to Colorado, similar bans now stand in more than two dozen other states, Puerto Rico and the District of Columbia. To most observers, the majority of the justices seem to favor Childs' claims that the conversion therapy ban restricts her religious and free speech rights. Far-right Justice Samuel Alito flatly called the ban blatant viewpoint discrimination. Justice Clarence Thomas doubled down, suggesting that the ban might be a prior restraint on speech. Colorado Solicitor General Shannon Stevenson defended her state's law. She argued that it protects minors from harmful and discredited practices, that it regulates professional conduct, not speech. Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson agreed, seeing the law as consistent with a state's traditional authority to oversee medical practices. Several scholars cited by Childs' Alliance Defending Freedom lawyers have complained that their research on conversion therapy was deliberately misrepresented as supporting the practice. Linda Robinson's 20-year-old son Ryan killed himself after enduring years of conversion therapy. Her story is part of an amicus brief filed by parents of several young conversion therapy victims. Her heartbreaking words on MSNBC have gone viral.
This is not a left or right issue. This is an issue of parents loving their kids and wanting to keep them safe. It was always sold as a way to make a child whole and holy, and yet it did the opposite. It completely broke Ryan's confidence. And when we taught Ryan to hate his sexuality, we were teaching him to hate himself. These programs prey on vulnerable parents, and they promise things they must know they don't work.
The Supreme Court's decision in Childs versus Salazar is expected to be announced in late June 2026.
Morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to Greenhouse 3 Second Years. Now gather round, everyone. Today we're going to repot mandrakes.
If Professor Pomona Sprout is known for her emphatic morning greetings in the Harry Potter movie franchise, 84-year-old British actress and national treasure Miriam Margolyes is known for waking up her fans in other ways. As she explained to Irish TV's The Late Late Show host Patrick Keeley.
You have described yourself as unapologetically woke.
I am. I'm a left-wing dyke. And I love it. I love being a lesbian. I'm not going to apologize for that.
Where does the fun come from?
The fun in being a lesbian?
or generally in life.
I'm Joe Bainline.
Rob Yetton's Yes We Can campaign is set to make him the youngest ever and first out gay prime minister of the Netherlands. I'm Red. His socially progressive, economically centrist Democrat 66 party gained 17 seats in parliament, clobbering the far-right Party for Freedom. It's led by the man called the Dutch Trump, current PM Geert Wilders, whose party lost 11 seats.
Sexuality did not play a major role in the 38-year-old's campaign. Instead, Yetin successfully expanded the voter base of the party, founded in 1966, by hammering Wilder for his divisive, anti-Muslim, and anti-immigrant policies. The October 29th election was also seen as a test of the slow swing to the right evidenced elsewhere in Europe. Yetin told English-speaking press on election night,
"This is an historic election result because we've shown not only to the Netherlands but also to the world that it is possible to beat populist and extreme right movements, and I'm very eager to cooperate with other parties to start an ambitious coalition as soon as possible."
Before a crowd of his cheering supporters, Yetin proclaimed,
"Miljoenen Nederlanders hebben vandaag de bladzijde.
Millions of Dutch people today turned a page and said farewell to the politics of negativity, of hate, of endless no we can't." To former Defense Minister Kajsa Ollengren, Yetin is without a doubt one of the most talented politicians the Netherlands has ever had, as she told The Independent.
Voters in Virginia, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, California, Georgia, New York City, and elsewhere in the U.S. strongly rejected the politics of President Donald Trump in off-year elections. Democrats won many more state legislature and gubernatorial victories than expected on November 4th. Virginians had two options for first woman governor. Abigail Spanberger clobbered Black Republican Lieutenant Governor Winsome Earl Sears, whose campaign focused on hate-filled ads targeting transgender people. Mikey Sherrill defeated Trump-endorsed Republican former state lawmaker Jack Cittarelli to keep New Jersey's governorship in Democratic hands. Both Spanberger and Sherrill have strongly supported LGBTQ equality. 34-year-old unabashed Democratic Socialist Zohran Mamdani created a national political earthquake with his overwhelming election to be New York City's youngest mayor in more than a century. He'll be the city's first Muslim and first immigrant Indian American leader. Affordability was the winning word in his election. Mamdani notably campaigned in all boroughs of the city, including areas thought to be hostile to his candidacy. His strong allyship made him a queer community favorite, and the weekend before the vote, he made several surprise appearances at queer venues. One of them was Poppy Juice, an art collective that affirms and celebrates the lives of queer and trans people of color.
Are we ready to beat Andrew Cuomo?
Yeah!
Are we ready to win a city we can afford?
Yeah!
Are we ready to make history?
Yeah!
Let's go.
All three Democrats on the Pennsylvania Supreme Court were retained by wide margins. Their control of the state's high court is seen as a guard against future Trump election challenges. Also protecting fair midterm elections next November, voters in California soundly approved the Election Rigging Response Act, or Proposition 50. The resulting congressional district map will favor Democrats in five jurisdictions to counter the Texas government's move to gain five seats favoring Republicans. Democrats have not won statewide constitutional office in deeply red Georgia since 2006. This time, Peter Hubbard and Alicia Johnson were able to oust two Republican incumbents from the state's Public Service Commission, which sets utility rates and promotes renewable energy programs. And the 8,000 people of Dowington, Pennsylvania, elected the state's first openly transgender mayor. Erica Dusso defeated Republican candidate Rich Bryant by the stunning tally of 65% to 35%. She called her victory deeply meaningful and pledged to carry that responsibility with pride and humility. Her online statement went on to say, "I hope it reminds anyone who has ever felt unseen, unheard, or underestimated that your voice matters and that you belong in the room where decisions are made."
Finally, British actor and dancer Jonathan Bailey has become People Magazine's first openly gay sexiest man alive. He is perhaps best known for co-starring in Wicked and its upcoming sequel, Wicked for Good. He runs from dinosaurs in Jurassic World Rebirth and runs towards romance in the Netflix show Bridgerton. His stage work includes roles in King Lear with gay icon Sir Ian McKellen. Bailey won the Laurence Olivier Award for Best Actor in a Supporting Role in a Musical for a 2019 gender-bending version of Stephen Sondheim's Company. Bailey came out publicly in 2018 and created the nonprofit Shameless Fund to raise money for queer groups and issues. Bailey's selection was revealed on the November 3rd edition of NBC TV's Late Night, The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. Like most of his predecessors, he took the honor with tongue firmly in cheek.
In 2025, you just think, I'm sort of thrilled that People magazine have invited someone in to bestow this honor on someone who can really cherish the value of a sexy man.
Yes!
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude, for the week ending November 8th, 2025. For This Way Out, I'm Melanie Keller. Stay healthy.
And I'm Marcos Nájera. Stay safe.
That's it for This Way Out's Queer History of 2025, and onward with hope and pride into 2026. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Greg Gordon produced this week's Queerest News of 2025 feature with archival news and feature reporters David Hunt, Jason Jen, Michael Taylor Gray, Ava Davis, Marcos Nájera, Joe Bainline, Rhett, and Melanie Keller. You heard music by Foster, Joni Leeds, George Michael, Jennifer Knapp, and War. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks to the Yavanna Foundation, Addie Gevins in Oakland, California, Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley celebrating their 50th year together, and all the listener donors who make this program possible. Ask us about how you can join them. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email us at info@thiswayout.org, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078 USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon, associate producer Lucia Chappell, and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Brian DeShazer. A happier 2026 to all of us, and thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org or wherever you get your podcasts, and on WLSL St. Leo Dade City, Florida, CHMA Sackville, New Brunswick, KBOO, Corvallis, Albany, Hood River, Oregon, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy, stay safe, and stay tuned.
Since its inception in 2022, CFRC Power Plays has become the number one destination